Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm outside the Texans practice bubble where they are having a two-hour practice, and I'm ready for, well, I can't go to Los Angeles for the game, but I'm ready to watch it because this is the best game of preseason. Then, of course, they should just cancel that last one like they did between the Cowboys and the Texans because of Hurricane Harvey, and it's such a needless game, that last preseason game.
So are you joining us right now from a golf cart outside the facility?
I am sitting in a golf cart outside the practice bubble. The reverberation from the music sounds like I'm in somebody's car, somebody's ride. But I know Mike Vrabel's turning up the volume up there, I would imagine.
Has that been the case, Paul?
Yeah. They like it loud. And they kept the music going with the Bucks in town too. They turn it down during teaching periods, but the rest of the time I think it helps with tempo.
They let the 49ers for the two joint practices last week pick the music. I thought we were going to get like Huey Lewis and the News, Grateful Dead, Jefferson Airplane, but we didn't. We still got music I never heard of.
No songs that your band would cover back in the day.
No.
John, this deal, this Rishard Matthews extension looks weird. He's on PUP. There's no revelation about what's up with him. It's a one-year team option extension for 2019. It would give him a $2.75 million raise. It's got $11 million potentially between the 2 years and incentives and per game roster bonuses and stuff like that. But one reporter said that I think Rappaport said he negotiated himself without an agent. It just seems weird. Does it sound weird to you?
It does sound weird. You don't see a one-year extension based on a club option when a guy's on physically unable to perform. Obviously, they expect Matthews to come off and be 100%, but it is strange. But if he gets some new money, good for him.
615-737-1045, our number. 615-737-1045, if you'd like to jump in there. John, they are sending out another instructional video for this helmet rule. How confused are you by everything that's going on there and how it will be implemented week one, which is in 2 weeks?
I think it's going to be disastrous. I saw Mike Pierre say that he thinks that all this is they're getting it out of their system in preseason and it won't be an issue in regular season. I just think that's preposterous. I hope I'm wrong, but I think the NFL, the only way you can explain some of the mysterious, preposterous, mind-boggling decisions they make, like the owners are meeting and they say, okay, let's create an anthem policy. It's going to generate a lot of controversy and keep us in the news over the NBA and Major League Baseball, the NHL. So they come out with a preposterous, ridiculous anthem policy that keeps them in the news. Then they come up with a helmet policy, and it's just as ridiculous. It's the smartest thing I've seen on this was Mike Florio. He said, at this point, just make it reviewable. That way you can correct the egregious errors, and we've seen some, a lot, way too many. You know, it's going to affect playoffs, could affect Super Bowl. I think the intent was good, but they need to use some common sense.
Florio's also suggested that they put intent into the rule. Like if it's incidental helmet contact, if it's incidental from the side when you're trying to, you know, shoulder a guy out of bounds and your head happens to hit him on the side, if it's not an aggressive move with the helmet with the purpose of hitting him with your helmet, that be accepted. I think most of us are presuming it will be accepted, but it's not in the language of the law.
You look at Kendall Fuller and the Bears, he didn't do anything. The guy where the ball ducked his head, He was making a great tackle, trying to get his head out of the way, and he still gets penalized. I feel sorry for the officials.
Yes.
Not their idea. They're doing what they think they've been told, and I blame the owners.
Mylika will lead us off with Wes on deck. You can call in, go to the front of the line to talk with John McClain. Hey, Mylika.
Hey, guys, what's up? Love the show. Mr. Hutton, you do an excellent job when you broadcast the Titans from the sideline.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I'm a huge Titans fan. What I'm really ticked off as the Titans, I heard on the radio that they are third in, like, helmet-to-helmet penalties or something. Something like that. And also, I was asking Mr. McClain, what does he think of the helmet-to-helmet hits? And is it just me, or was Taywan Taylor the only bright spot in last week's game? Let's hope we do better. Go Titans. Tighten up. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
You guys will have to answer the first and third one, but I'll say this. It's not helmet-to-helmet, Mylika. It's leading with your helmet to any part of the body. You're supposed to get your head out of the way. And there were cases where they got their head out of the way and made tackles, and the officials threw penalties on them anyway to rub out some big plays.
I think, I don't know where they rank, but they've had two each in two games.
Yeah, so four.
Four total, which is not a massive amount by any means. I don't remember the other part of her.
Taywan Taylor.
Taywan Taylor was
you called him your most improved player.
Yeah, and he was very good in that game. He played too long for my liking. But I mean, Jayon Brown was good in that game. I think Wadley and Dawkins showed some stuff in that game. Don't focus on the score, or the result. You know, focus on some other stuff. It wasn't a great game by any means. They haven't played great in the preseason, but it's not that big a deal, I don't think.
You guys, a question. Where is Corey Davis right now? How does he stand in his development?
Inconsistent. Flashes some tremendous stuff, but too often up and down. Didn't play in the first preseason game. Played last week. His most notable thing was a block. You know, they're certainly counting on him in a big way.
Wes is next up for John. Hey, Wes.
Hey, guys. Hey, John. Big Titans fan, but I'm also a big Vandy guy, too. I was just kind of wondering what you've seen out of Zach Cunningham down there in the Texans and, you know, what their hopes for him were this season. I really appreciate it, and I'll hear up with him.
Thank you very much, Wes. Cunningham, second-round pick, started slow, and then he got in the lineup, and he just kept getting better and better. They drafted him because they needed an inside linebacker who could cover. Bernardrick McKinney, their leading tackler, he's 6'4", 260. He makes a great effort, but he can't keep up with small defensive backs, you know, like the guys the Patriots have and now the Titans have. And so they drafted Cunningham to do that. And I thought it was very interesting because as they got closer to the end of the season and their defense was decimated by injuries and they were getting beaten bad by a lot of teams, Cunningham kept getting better. Right when you think he's going to hit that proverbial rookie wall, he just burst right through it. Had a great off-season program. He starts next to McKinney. He's done tremendous in camp and preseason. They are really pumped about Zach Cunningham.
John, Cleveland Browns are a big bet in Vegas. They got more bets in Vegas on the Browns to win their division than the other three teams combined. And Vegas says that it's upside down on the Browns as compared to every other team in the league. I understand people are more enthusiastic about the Browns than they've been in some time. But is this just a case of people finally not thinking they're going to be absolutely terrible and running to get the ticket that they can cash in if there's a miracle?
You like to think it's all those Brownies that are fired up and watching Hard Knocks and deciding to bet on their team. But my goodness. If the over-under was 5, would you take the over or the under? Because you know Mayfield's going to be quarterbacking. I don't care what they're saying about Tyrod Taylor. They didn't draft Mayfield first overall to ride the pine. So if I'm taking 5 or more, I'm going with the under.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, 5 sounds – it's 5 more wins than last year. That's a pretty damn big gain. I don't know.
That's a success for them.
Absolutely.
John, you think they're going to be okay, though? Like, you don't think they're going to go, you know, two wins on the season and be terrible in their losses? At least that's the way you felt a couple of months ago.
I'm guessing they're going to start slow.
And they start Pittsburgh at New Orleans, Jets at Raiders. That's easy 1-3.
Easy 1-3, and then I could see a lot of people wanting Hugh Jackson fired. Then you got Greg Williams and Todd Haley fighting over the interim coach job. That's not good. Then you could see Jimmy Haslam saying, hey, I want Mayfield playing. Yeah. So before I think they're not in turmoil, I want to see them do it. I've fallen in love with Hard Knocks teams before, like last season in Tampa. I'm trying not to do that with Cleveland, although I have to say they've been very interesting and fascinating in these first two Hard Knocks, and I'm really pumped tonight to see the Dez Bryant being there and what all went into that.
Who would you bet on, Haley or Williams?
Haley, because he's offense and a quarterback, is a first-round pick. And, I think Haley has a better chance.
Also, he's the opposite of Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley, from the mentality of if you're not hurt, if you're injured, you can't practice. If you're hurt, you're going to practice. Like, I felt like he was planting some seeds on Hard Knocks. I was reading into what he was saying in that meeting across from Hugh Jackson, where he disagreed with sitting out some of those players.
I agree, and I think I mentioned this last week. Hugh Jackson's a great guy, but I don't look at him and think head coach. I look at him and think assistant coach. Now, Haley, when he was at Kansas City, he was a head case. I mean, stuff he did there where people have been shaking their head. Now, I can't see him getting a job long term, but I could certainly see John Dorsey going with him over Greg Williams. But, I think if they won 5 games after being 0-16, that would be a tremendous accomplishment.
Back to the phones. We say hello to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, John. If the NFL decided to incorporate a soft outer shell in the helmet, could that possibly decrease the concussion rate?
I have no idea what it would take. I think if they thought that would work, some companies would have created a soft shell on the outer part because they're constantly looking for anything that can stabilize the head, therefore stabilize the brain, which moves on collisions. And players have choices of helmets, and they don't all wear the same thing. But if somebody ever does invent something that eliminates or reduces concussions, can you imagine how much money that company's going to make?
What they need is
John.
A shell inside the skull as opposed to outside the skull.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody's inventing that. If you could take an injection into your head that would form a thing inside your skull so that when your brain went to bounce against the skull, it was padded. That's where the problem is.
Oh.
That's not fixable on the outside.
20 or 30 years, that may be routine, Paul.
Yeah, you're right.
Paul's going to come up with it, John.
Well, he's already come up with it.
Yeah.
The key is developing and manufacturing.
And monetizing, let's be honest. we need some profit here.
I'd invest.
Let's go to Donald next up with Jim on deck. Hey, Donald.
Hey, guys. How you doing? How you doing, Great. John?
Great, Donald. Thank you.
Hey, I had a question for you. It's caught me on a surprise what the Cincinnati Bengals did with Iuka, the safety they had for a long time. They released him.
5 years he started every game for 5 years, and everything I read said they got 3 younger, cheaper safeties, and it saved them like $5 million. That sounds like the old Bengals. Maybe he just wasn't getting it done, and they acted like it was money, because I can't believe you would say that or let it leak out about money at this time of year. You know, players want to know if they play hard and they play well and they're good soldiers, they're going to be rewarded. And remember when he signed there, I can't remember it was last year or the year before when he re-signed. But I would hope he wouldn't have trouble getting a job, but there's safety still out there led by Eric Reed.
First stop, I think, was Oakland. Is that right? Iloka, I thought, was going to visit the Raiders.
He seems like a Raiders type player.
Yeah, he does.
He fit in there.
Let's go next to Jim. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. What's the chances of Trevor Daniel, the punter out of Tennessee, making the 53-man roster with the Texans?
What have you thought about him, John?
I was asked that question on my show here this morning on the Texans flagship, and I said the competition for Shane Leckler's job is very real. Daniel has done great. Now, Leckler's 82. I'm 82. Just seems like it. 42. He's been in the league since 01. He had a 47-yard average last year, 40-yard net. He had the third most inside the 20 in his career, and he had the second fewest touchbacks. Now, that's a good – that's a really good performance. And it wouldn't be because of him as much. They wanted him to get more direction, quit booming the ball, you know, make the punt returner go left, go right, not just back and get a head start. And Daniel has done all of that. There's two games to decide. In fact, I'm going to write about this for Saturday. You know, the backup, in this case an undrafted free agent, has got to knock out the champion, and he's got a chance to do it in these last two games.
John, what did you think? Did you watch any of Andrew Luck last night?
I did. I don't care what Andrew does throwing the ball. Don't care about his stats at all. Only thing I'm caring about is seeing when he gets hit, if he gets up, how he responds. And I thought it was very cool. Terrell Suggs helped him up. You could tell Suggs giving him a little pep talk, and Luck was real fired up to get hit hard and come down on his wrist and his shoulder. So I would, you know, he's, but I don't, I just seen too many guys. You know, Blake Bortles, his first year, he looked great in preseason. I think everything is on track for Luck's comeback because of how he is physically.
I didn't get to see any of it. I don't know if Hutton did. What'd you guys think of Tessitore, Witten, and McFarland?
I wasn't paying any attention to them because I was working. I was just watching a game. But I like Witten and I like Booger, and I don't know enough about Joe Tessitore. But, you know, I wait till regular season.
I was expecting you to ask me something about Luck. I was at dinner and just watched the game at the bar.
Talking to two guys that had it on in the background, yep. Which is the way to watch preseason football.
Although I wouldn't mind figuring out how that went last night. Are they putting Booger McFarland in like a lift?
Yeah, he needs to be in a booth. They've got this contraption for him to go over the field and be over the 50-yard line with a computer screen. I'm thinking, how's he going to see that on a day game? Quit doing gimmicks and just put him in the booth with Whitten and let them do their job.
Reinventing the wheel.
They don't need to do that.
They don't need to do it. Let the camera do it, but you don't need him up there.
No.
Why not have him in a hanging from his ankle, like Nash coming down from the ceiling at Bridgestone Arena? Just have him hanging upside down over the middle of the field, obligated to avoid any punts or high passes, occasionally lifted up so that the blood doesn't rush to his head. I think I should wear like a cat suit.
John, on the flip side of the quarterback play for Luck and the Colts, Joe Flacco looked outstanding. He looks like a quarterback who is highly motivated to prove some critics wrong and to prove his team wrong.
About time.
Well, Lamar Jackson looked inaccurate again. He had a touchdown pass, but I read something this morning on the internet and tweeted and said if any of those other quarterbacks taking a hit at Jackson had thrown the ball the way he does, they'd be getting eviscerated. And Jackson is not. And the problem is, can they keep him as a backup quarterback, considering how erratic and unimpressive he's been? Or do they have to keep RG3 and then keep 3?
Paul, do you know how many games the Ravens have won in a row now in the preseason?
A ton, I'm guessing.
11.
Is that right? And how meaningful it's proven.
All the champions.
John, Teddy Bridgewater will be where?
He will be with a team that loses his quarterback to an injury and thinks it has a chance to go to the playoffs. They'd be foolish to trade him now. They need to wait till the season, then get two teams interested in him, and then reap the benefits, kind of like Philadelphia did with Sam Bradford.
Is it smart for the Jets to come out and say that they are openly willing to trade him?
I think it doesn't matter. You don't need to say that publicly. General managers around the league know if they call you, they're interested. Everybody knows they're interested. But right now they're just putting out feelers.
It's way too early.
Do you agree, Paul?
I mean, if somebody wanted to come and get him now, you'd give him up now, but the price probably goes up later.
So the teams that have been rumored,
that need him go up
the
later.
Patriots, I was reading that the New England could be interested in, was it, who was the other team? Seattle, maybe?
New England.
Oh, Miami. Miami.
New England would be.
Now, Miami would be legit. They don't owe Tannehill any guaranteed money after this year. He's 30 years old, coming off knee surgery. I could see that. Don't see New England. Don't see Seattle. He wants a chance to start next season. He's on a one-year contract. And I'm not so sure, just based on what we've seen in preseason, he's ready to step in and lead a team to the playoffs.
Well, yeah, he's been really good. And the thing is, John, it's not like, you know, he's – you can't point to him and say he's outperforming Darnold, but you can't say the same about Darnold either. I just always felt like it was a weird landing spot for him in free agency because they signed – Go ahead.
It was very weird because you knew they were going to take quarterback number one.
Yeah, and they traded up for him.
And they have Josh McCown. So he's expendable because Darnold's going to be the starter and McCown the backup.
Let's go to Rick, not in Ridgetop today. What's up, Rick?
Hey.
You still remember. Hey, John, this is Rick, not from Ridgetop.
Hello, Rick, not from Ridgetop.
My question for you, I'm 65. I really don't know how old you are, but you talk to a whole lot of people. And in the older age bracket, let's take a guy like Jerry Kramer. Have there been any discussions with the old-timers about when headgears went from a piece of protection to a weapon that all these changes are having to be made to the game of football?
It wasn't the equipment. It was what the defense was allowed to get away with. The defense could do anything. They could cut, chop block, do anything to an offensive lineman. They could stand up the center, nose tackle, and then a guard. They could stand up the nose tackle and a guard cut him. That's illegal. They could use their forearms to hit receivers in the head coming across the middle. They could pick a quarterback up and throw him down. And so because those rules were allowed for them to do that, they were going to use any possible manner that they could to get their jobs done. I knew a player used to put a screwdriver in. He would tape up his forearm and put a screwdriver inside his pad, and when he wanted to rip somebody, he just pushed the other end on the handle. It would come out a little bit, and he would swipe at them. And I've heard all kind of things like that, and they let him get away with it. Now, of course, it all comes back to the concussion and the money it's caused. These rules today, are they for player safety? Sure. But they're mainly to protect the owners from having to cough up hundreds of millions more because of concussions.
Phillips had screwdriver or flathead?
No, it was a Phillips.
Important distinction.
I like how John was like, yeah, it was a Phillips.
Yeah. What? It's the devil's in the details.
This guy's clearly crazy. Did he do anything else other than the screwdriver and the arm pad?
Oh, yeah. He started for years for the Oilers. He's in the record books. Just an all-around really good guy. But when he played, they had some guys that did some dirty things.
It reminds me of the Kevin Mawai told the story about in high school, how he got up out of a pile, and at the bottom of the pile, one of his teammates had a shoestring around his neck.
Well, the best one I've heard at the bottom of the pile was the old Cardinals with Conrad Dober, and Conrad Dober is probably the dirtiest player in history, and when there was a pile, he would take his hands and he would search for the opponent who had the football, and he would try to get his hands between the legs and squeeze the footballs, getting to cough it up, and half the time he was screaming, his teammates were screaming.
Wrong guy. You got to take your chances there.
Wrong footballs.
You take your chances and see what happens. John Adrian Peterson, 33 years old, signs with the Washington Redskins. Is that going to last?
Nah, he's averaged 3 yards a carry since the start of the 2016 season. You know, he had a couple of good games last year with the Cardinals, so maybe he'll have a couple of good games. He doesn't have long to prove himself. Maybe they're automatically going to put him on the roster because of their desperation. But I'm guessing when cuts are made from 90 to 53, mm-hmm. they'll be bringing in a couple of more backs.
A.J. McCarron has that shoulder injury. Is Josh Allen going to start now in Buffalo because of that?
Josh Allen is the starter in Buffalo, and he's not going to be coming out unless he's really bad and they have to sit him for a while. But it's Josh Allen time.
What a difference 3 weeks makes. You go from him being, you know, barely getting time in the first preseason game because they're working Peterman and McCarron, to Peterman receiving first team reps in week two, Josh Allen not being able to complete a screen pass, and now he's the starter in Buffalo.
One of the things to keep in mind when you have a rookie, when a head coach is going to start a rookie, he usually wants the players to understand why he's doing it. And so maybe he did that to look like he was being fair. Maybe McDermott saw in practice as well as the games the improvement Allen made, and so did the players see the talent, the work ethic, the size, the arm strength, and now he's going to say, this is the time.
John, has everything clicked in the preseason for Houston?
Their offense, their running game's been terrible, but for what they're looking for from Deshaun Watson, yes, in limited action. He'll play the first half, and all their starters, they've kept out 9 starters, including 7 on defense. All of them who are healthy, like Watt, Clowney, they'll all get a cup of coffee against the Rams Saturday afternoon on national TV, and then they'll hopefully all of them will be healthy. Their only injury issue right now is Kevin Johnson, a corner, has a concussion. Deontay Foreman, a backup running back, may have to be on PUP, but if all you're worried about is a backup running back, you're in pretty good shape.
You on schedule to make the trip to New England for week one?
I am, yep. Doctors told me I can do it. Can't pick up a bag or anything, but I'll just check it. But, yeah, I'm hopefully another 2 weeks I can be driving again and using my left hand to type.
You got a lousy travel schedule out of the gate, at New England, at Tennessee, Giants at home, at Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, I don't like going to Foxborough, but you guys know I love to come to Nashville.
John, we love having you on, man. Thank you for the time, and we'll catch up with you later this week.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks, Jonathan, right. And Paul. Yep.